If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, thanks for listening. Brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Time for What's Toxic and What's Not with our toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, in this segment every week. Dr. Mike, what do you like among Dr. Gary's topics today?
Well, the one I really like best is, what about vinyl flooring, and what should we do if we want to buy vinyl flooring? What should we look for in the vinyl flooring so that we don't get this health problem? So tell us the health problem.
Okay. Well, hi, Mike. Hi, Joe. And unfortunately, vinyl flooring has a lot of phthalate in it. And I've talked about phthalates before on this show as being basically a hormone disruptor, anti-male especially, as has been shown. But there's emerging evidence, and it's not just one or two or three studies. It's more like seven or eight studies now. So there's a body of evidence that says that they're not good for young people's lungs, the breathing capacity, the potential for asthma. So something that's not quite clearly mechanistically worked out, but something about the hormone disruption leading to higher chance for allergy and asthma and poor breathing. And so what this study did was, and I call this the wheeze from down under, because in Sweden, not in Australia, but in Sweden, they looked down under at the floor that kids were using, and also what the parents' bedroom looked like from birth. And this was a 10-year follow-up. So they looked at in about 3,000 kids what the flooring was like in their bedroom, in the parents' bedroom, and who got asthma and who didn't. And it turns out your odds were about two times higher of getting asthma if your parents' bedroom was vinyl floored. And vinyl, again, has phthalate in it. And you don't think that the floor is going to release chemicals that are going to get into your body. But you scuff the floor, you walk on the floor. Floors, as everyone knows, degrade. They need to be rewaxed. They need to be built up. They need to be replaced over time. So we're talking about vinyl flooring. They do have fairly substantial levels of phthalates.
Are there vinyl floors without phthalates?
Not right now, no. So they are working on...
So we got a product for you to develop, Gary.
Yeah. But you know what I always say to parents? I mean, you don't necessarily have to rip out your vinyl floor. It's dust and mop and dust and mop and keep those floors clean, because it's all a matter of how dirty the floor is and how much you allow these phthalates to build up in this little dust bowl environment that your kids are crawling around in. So that's more the key. Clean and dust, and that gets rid of a lot of ills, including lead that might be coming from the paint, perfluorinated compounds that may be coming from your cookware or carpeting. So clean, clean, clean.
What about these installers that install vinyl floors and carpeting, too?
Excellent question. Now, we think that the most vulnerable period is in utero and in early life. So unless these installers have very promiscuous children that have really good workmen, they're probably not at the most vulnerable period. But there are some data, even in adults, that suggest that hormone disruption can occur from phthalate exposure. So I would say if you're cutting and ripping apart to fit into a room, that you don't want to be breathing in a lot of the dust that you're generating.
All right, let's stay in the house and talk about a common household pesticide that's causing some problems with kids, too.
Right, yeah. Well, we've known that organophosphate insecticides, and we're talking about bug killer, ant and roach killer, we're talking about flea bombs, we're talking about garden sprays. We've known for a long time now that, since about 2000, that the organophosphates, the older wave of the household insecticide, are too toxic. They've been taken off the market, and they've been replaced by the pyrethroid, which have always been believed to be somewhat safer because they're from the derivatives of the chrysanthemum flower. And sure enough, they have lower toxic potential. They've received some study in animals and some, but the exposure is now so widespread in the human population that the studies on, sort of the post-market surveys of what this means toxins to people and to children is just are just starting to come in. So this study out of Quebec, this was 779 kids, and 97% of them had some amount of pyrethroid insecticide in their body. Now, you don't think that, gee, you know, living in a suburban house, you're going to be exposed to pyrethroids, but sure enough, they worked their way in, including some from the diet. But the kids with more of the pyrethroids in their body had a higher odds higher odds of being attention deficit and having learning problems. So, you know, we know that these things are neuroactive. That's how they damage the pests, the insects that we're trying to get rid of. And so it's not been well studied. This is one association. I'm not aware of any others that have backed this up. So it's something to watch. But it goes along with my mantra, and that is the less of anything that's going to kill something in your house, the better. So if it's meant to kill something, really use it with caution. Hide it from kids. Don't spray it around your house a lot. There's much better ways to kill ants than being the gunslinger and pulling out that can of bug killer and trying to kill them with that spray, because that's just going to spread around the house and kids will get exposed, and it may affect their IQ.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg with us in the segment, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Mike Roizen. Gary, we're a year out since Hurricane Sandy. Are there still some health issues a year later?
Yeah, there's still several hundred houses in the New York City area that have not been fully rehabbed, and one of the things holding them back is mold. And the average cost to demold a house from a hurricane like that is about $10,000 to $30,000. So it's not insignificant. It does mean looking behind walls anytime where there's been moisture that's been not been dried out for weeks to months, and in this case over a year. You know, those walls have to come down and replace with clean walls. And so people who moved back in and haven't taken care of the mold problem, sure enough, the local doctors are seeing more respiratory sinus type of symptoms from moldy homes that are the residue, not only of Hurricane Katrina, where we learned that, but also now Superstorm Sandy. And so I always remind people of the 48-hour rule. If you do not get to your storm water damage within 48 hours, it's going to start growing mold, and then you're going to need to get demolded, because otherwise you may become allergic to it. You may start having lots of respiratory symptoms. So, unfortunately, the legacy of Sandy is not quite over.
All right. We have about a minute for you to talk about what the Diwali celebration is and what the issues are.
I found this fascinating. But New Delhi in India and in several other countries around the world where the Hindu faith is predominant, they celebrate Diwali, which is a major five-day festival at this time of the year. And one of the big things they do is set off fireworks, firecrackers, fireworks in the sky. A lot of it going on to scare away the evil spirits. And they have air pollution problems, which is why a toxicologist brings it up, so high that the levels, the particulate matter levels, Mike, spike to 18 times above their standards in India, which are probably not as strong as our standards here in the U.S.
18 times? And
yes,
it's particulate.
From a local fireworks display.
They must be sending out a ton of fireworks.
It's pretty hazy. Hey, have you ever gone to a July 4th celebration and you see all the haze and the smoke afterwards?
Yep, sure.
That's not particularly healthy to breathe in either, but fortunately it's one day. They do it for 5 days, and it's right there in their streets and in their communities, so it's not healthy.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, fantastic website, whatstoxic.com. Whatstoxic.com. And Dr. G joins us every week right here on the show. We thank him for that. Right after the break, it's Straight Talk from the Docs. Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry on their issues of the day. And we thank you for listening. Udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.